Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, you know the need of the hour today better than we do. You know who's listening. You know their burdens. You know their cares. And Father, we pray that you would help through your message, that you could touch their hearts. Help the lost to see their need of Jesus. Help us that are saved to see our need to follow Christ every day and to not follow the lust of our flesh that would hinder us and even hinder our relationship with you, and therefore hinder us from being a help or blessing to others and accomplishing your will in our lives. Father, we pray that you would bless in every way, and for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come today, we're continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We left off last week dealing with, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." We're going to dig into that for a while today. And there's times that people say, "Well, nobody knows what I feel. Nobody knows what I'm going through." That's just not true. Again, as we mentioned last week, there's people that we've dealt with over the years, a lot of them in private conversation. I'd never name them publicly or give anything publicly. But I've known people that have been abused. I've known people who, by a human standard, you'd say, "Well, they got every right to seek revenge," but by the Bible, they don't. You've got situations where people deal with hatred, malice, unforgiveness. You've also got issues where people have lust in their lives and they say, "Well, I just want a little bit more." And they're talking stuff, possessions, money. But that's not happiness. That's not what the Bible teaches us is happiness. And I often like to say this: you don't find in the Bible where possessions are taught against. You don't find where money is taught against. I've had many people tell me, "Well, preacher, you know that money is the root of all evil." And I said, "You need to go back and read that verse. Money's not the issue. Money is nothing but an inanimate object. And that doesn't matter where it's gold or silver or paper. Or cryptocurrency, I guess, or a bank account statement or whatever it might be. Some debit card or credit card with no limit or whatever it might be. It's the love behind getting it that's the problem. When you will sacrifice your morals, your values, your relationship with God to get it." Now, as we've been dealing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're looking back at how Israel got selfish and murmured and complained and even went into idolatry over a lot of things that we might look at and we say, well, why did they do that? We might want to take a look in the mirror and look at some things in our life and say the same thing. The reason we have things written aforetime is to help us to see us. And it's to help us to see where we wouldn't fall into the same temptations. Sometimes to put food on our table, we might make sacrifices that are unbiblical. Is that any different than what Israel did? Sometimes we feel like God's not hearing us or giving us the answers we want, so we make our own God. Is that not what Israel did? Sometimes we get tired of walking the line as a Christian and being what God would have us to be, and we want to be a little bit more like the world, so we give in to lust and ambitions, and we follow things that are not godly, and we do things that are not godly. Is that not the same thing Israel did? See, these things were written for our learning. They're set there for our example, so that we could learn from it and not fall into the same temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. None. Everything you're dealing with today is a temptation that somebody has dealt with before you. Oh, it might be on your phone now. It might be on your computer. It might be more prevalent at your workplace and in the world at large. And there might be things that are everywhere you go, in the shopping centers and everywhere else, that there's more opportunity to see those temptations before you. For there's no temptation that's taking you, but such is common to man. And some people have tried to say over the years, you don't know what I'm dealing with. No, but God does, and I guarantee you there's others that know exactly what you're dealing with. There was a young boy one time that tried to tell a man. He said, you don't know what I'm dealing with in my situation. He was trying to help raise a kid. The man was trying to help him. And you know, the man felt in his position and what he was dealing with, trying to raise a kid and, you know, having nobody else in the family to take care of him and all this other stuff. He was like, you don't know, we're dealing with poverty. I don't know how to get food and I'm dealing with a situation I don't know what to deal with. Come to find out, the same man that was trying to help him later on, the man didn't talk back to him. Come to find out later on, that man that was trying to help him, that he was trying to badmouth, he found out that he had lost his daddy at a young age. And he had to go out and get a job very early in life to try to help put food on the table for his family and take care of his siblings. He knew a whole lot more about that situation than he thought he did. He had been down the road that he had faced. Sometimes we think what we're dealing with, nobody else is dealing with. Nobody else is dealing with hunger. Nobody else is dealing with addiction. Nobody else is dealing with this anger that I deal with inside of me. Nobody else has faced the abuse that I faced. Maybe it's somebody that's been raped. Maybe it's somebody that's been molested, and they say nobody else knows. Let me tell you, from talking to people over the years in churches, there's people that know. I had a man tell me one time, and I did get upset about it. I didn't lose my temper, but I certainly did raise my voice in response to get across the point. But he had made the statement, he said, people in churches don't know what us out in the world deal with. I said, you think we're not in the same world? You think we don't face the same things? And I had had recent conversations with two different people. I'm talking recent, within months of probably that conversation, that statement. I said, I could take you to people right now. I said, I can take you to one person who still has scars on their body from being abused as a child. I said, I could take you to a young lady that I just talked to not too long ago that was raped. I said, I can take another person to you just down the road that I've been talking with that was sexually abused as a child. I said, all these people go to church. I said, you don't think they deal with the same things you deal with? You don't think they face the same temptations? To give in to anger? To give in to alcohol? To give in to drugs? And trust me, I've counseled people even in churches that have gotten on drugs. I've counseled people that have been addicted to pornography. And I say, I'm trying to get across. Listen, I think other preachers are probably listening, maybe on their way to church this morning, or maybe coming home from church whenever they're listening to this broadcast, and they're sitting there going, amen. Because they're dealing with the same things. And some of those preachers are dealing with depression because there are situations they face where they feel helpless or they feel like they failed. You know what it's like to preach to people, to try to help and be a blessing to them, and then you go to their funeral because they've committed suicide. And you feel like you failed to preach to them or you failed to get across the gospel to them. I know men have dealt with that too. I know parents that have lost children. I know children that have lost parents. People that have dealt with poverty, people that have dealt with emotions that they didn't even know what to deal with. Why do I feel this way? Why am I attracted to this person when I know that's not godly? There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. No temptation. Now, understanding that, what do we do with it? But God is faithful. That's the next words that follow. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world, is what it tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4. Don't forget that. God says in the book of Romans that we can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. More than conquerors of what? Of these temptations, of these lusts, of these fears. We can be more than conquerors, but we're not going to do it on our own. We're not going to do it on our own strength. Remember the verse that was before this. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You're going to face something in life that you're not prepared for and you're not strong enough for on your own. You're going to face it. There's people say, Brother Brandon, you kind of negative. No, I'm not. I'm preparing people because I don't want them to fall. I'm not overly tough. I'm not overly difficult on this. I understand that people are going to face some things in life that without God they won't be able to face. That is just the truth of life. And somewhere along the way, I don't know where it is, but some people have taught this false doctrine that if you're saved, everything in life is just going to be easy and you're going to have no worries and there's nothing. No temptation even going to come to you. You're not going to face any problems. Where do you find that in Scripture? In fact, we're reading Scripture right here, and God is saying, you're going to face temptations, and you're going to face temptations that are common to man. The same temptations that are out in the world are the same temptations amongst God's people. You're going to face it. And when you do, what are you going to do? God is faithful. You got to give some things to God. And some people think, well, that'll take one prayer. Yeah, right. And I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to be funny or anything else. I'm trying to be as honest as I can be with you. Sin is the most addictive thing that there ever is, because you can justify sin and you can get the whole world to come and tell you everything you're doing is all right. There's not a thing you can do in the world today where somebody won't tell you, I understand and it's okay. You can go do right what you're doing. I understand your anger. Go get revenge. I understand what they did to you. Don't you dare forgive them. I tell you, the world will always be acceptable of sin. You got a pile of enablers in the world that'll tell you sin's okay. You got a God that'll tell you it's not. But you also have a God who is just and willing to forgive when we repent. Who's merciful and long-suffering. And when we turn, is ready and willing to forgive. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let me say this, sometimes that way of escape is not the path you would have chosen. And a lot of times people don't understand that. God should make it this way for me. God should just take the temptation away from me where I'm not even tempted with it. That's not what God does. God doesn't make it where we're not tempted. God makes it where we have the grace and strength to overcome the temptation. Sadly, I've come across people that have even told me, if there's a God, He would just take this away from me. No, He wouldn't. You have a sinful flesh and you got to deal with it. But I know a God who's able to walk every mile with you, who's able even to go to the valley of the shadow of death with you. And I'll remind you, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was tempted to bow down and serve another god or be thrown into the fiery furnace, God didn't take away the furnace. God didn't take away the fire. He went into the fire with them. God didn't take away the den of lions from Daniel, did He? He just closed the lion's mouth while he was in there. God didn't stop Joseph's brothers from mistreating him, and that eventually led him to be sold into slavery. God didn't stop him from being sold into slavery. God didn't stop him from having a false accusation brought against him and even put in prison. But God was with him while he was a slave. God was with him while he was in prison. And God was with him when He brought him out. And dear friend, through all that time, and all the temptations he faced during that time, God was with him. God's grace and strength was able to help him through those years. Not just a day, not just a moment, years. And then he goes along and he has a family and he's second only to Pharaoh and everything looks like it's going great. And you might think, well, it's wonderful. His family comes back and is before him. Think about this just for a moment. You have the power. You have the power to get revenge, and it's even legal. What would we do with that power? What would you do with that power? What would I do with that power? If I could get revenge and it even be legal, he could have had him in prison forever. He could have had him killed. But God worked on Joseph's heart, didn't He? And He forgave him. Even after his father's death, they were like, well, now that our father's dead, now he's surely going to get revenge on us. And he said, what y'all don't understand is y'all meant something for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, I've seen God work through this. And what he was letting them know is, I've forgiven you. There is no ill will in my heart towards you. You think that happened overnight? You think that God just made that easy for Joseph, or is that something he had to cry and pray over? Sometimes we're wanting God just to take things away from us, but let me tell you, sometimes God is strengthening us so that we can help somebody else. God's going to give us a way of escape. It might not be the way we want. Sometimes to do the right thing and be what God wants us to be, it might be a military person facing a court-martial. And he says, I have to stand, I have to do what's right. Even if it means my career, even if it means my freedom. Doing what's right isn't always easy. It's just always right. But God will give us a way of escape. sometimes that way of escape is coming forward and saying, listen, I did this wrong. There's people that some have been living lies for years and haven't been honest with God, haven't confessed things to God, haven't removed certain sins from their life. And sometimes to just admit that is so difficult, but it's the right thing to do. He said, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Again, idolatry is things contrary to God, things that go against God. It's worship of self. It's not just worship of some false idol, and certainly there's a lot of that in the world and even in churches today. But it's anything that goes contrary to God. We need to flee it. He said, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Christ set the example for us, didn't he? Not my will, but thy will, God's will be done. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Is he just talking about sacrifices here? Or is he talking about the ways of the world versus the ways of God? We're not to have fellowship with devils. We're not to go with their thought process and their ways of doing things. We're to go with the ways of God. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You cannot serve God and mammon. And to serve God is separate than salvation. I pray that you that are lost understand that. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. When you turn by faith and believe in Christ alone for eternal salvation, that's soul salvation. But after we're saved, to serve God, to honor Him, to live for Him, dear friend, that is submitting to His Word. As we dealt with last week, what is fornication? Any sexual activity outside of the bond of marriage as far as physical fornication. That includes pornography, adultery, sex before marriage. All those things are a type of fornication. Spiritual fornication is anything that goes contrary to God's Word. If God calls something sin, guess what? It's sin. And just because you've committed sin doesn't mean you can't be saved. If that was the case, I wouldn't be saved and nobody else would either. What we got to do though is admit what sin is. If you committed adultery, admit it's adultery. If you committed fornication, admit it's fornication. Flee from it. Turn to God. But this temptation is so great. Okay? I understand that. I have faced temptation so great before they followed me to sleep. They were before me in every direction. I have wanted revenge sometimes so bad. It ate me up. And I cannot tell you the amount of tears shed and the amount of prayers prayed that it took to get over that. I've dealt with doubts before. Fears. Heartache. And I'm saying all that not to say, well, I've faced all this and conquered it. Listen, there's battles I face every day. We all do. We all face things every single day. But through Christ, listen, if you're not saved, these words don't mean nothing to you. Because greater is He that is within you. Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you from salvation, you're going to have a hard time conquering these things. You need God. And we that are saved, if we try to conquer them by our flesh, like Peter did by saying, I'll never deny you, Lord, because I'm strong and I'm faithful and I love you. He trusted in himself instead of trusting in God, and he failed. He learned a lesson in that failure. He wept bitter tears from that failure. But it was an important lesson. And it helped him to learn how to teach others and how to not put confidence in the flesh, but rather put confidence in God. We that are saved need to remember that our confidence is in God and not in self. I can tell you right now, I'm not strong enough to face the temptations that I face. Not by myself, I'm not. I need God. And I know for a fact, from a biblical fact, not anything I know about you, because I might not even know you individually, but what I know by the Bible, you're not able to face Satan and the temptations of your flesh without the help of God. You're not able to do it. That much I know for sure. And that doesn't matter whether you're saved or not saved. You try to fight that battle without God, you will fail. If you're lost, you need to trust in Christ so that He can help you fight those battles and overcome your flesh. If you're saved, you need to yield to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God instead of yielding to your flesh. You need God. You need Him. Dear friend, today our prayer is in all this is to accomplish several things. One is to let you know I understand that you're dealing with temptations. We all are. And you might seem like sometimes you might say, you don't know what I'm facing though. You don't know my temptation where I might can say yes on my part. I know that God does, and I know other people even within God's churches that have faced what you faced. You might think they haven't. But there's not a whole lot that I think that I haven't come across that I haven't already met somebody that's dealt with that. Because there is no temptation that's taken you but such as is common to man. It might be something that people are ashamed to talk about. It might be a temptation that people are ashamed that they're even dealing with. They don't want nobody else to know about it. I can tell you God already knows about it. And I can promise you this, other people have already dealt with the same temptation you're dealing with. Anger, malice, jealousy, covetousness, pride. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Lust. Greed. These are things other people have already dealt with too. And dear friend, if we could be a help or a blessing to you, this is the point we want to come to. If you need somebody to talk to, I'd be glad to talk with you. Oh, you just condemn me. You might find out something different. But you don't know. Unless you're willing to talk to somebody. We're here to help you, not to hurt you. We're here to point you to Christ. And most of us that are saved, we know the temptations. We know what you're dealing with, and we also know what you stand in need of in Christ. And we want to be a help and a strength to you if you'd let us be that. Again, if you have anything upon your heart, you feel free. Our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, use this message to accomplish your will, and for the good accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.